Have you ever publicly questioned a mother's parenting skills? Criticized her decision, perhaps, for allowing her child to do something risky or for not watching her kids closely enough in a public place or for how she handles a tantrum or anything else for that matter? Have you ever been criticized or judged by someone else for your parenting decisions or methods? Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We are going to talk about the issue of mom shaming this hour, why it happens so much, and its consequences. A recent poll finds more than 60% of moms feel judged for their parenting skills. Most of that criticism is coming from their own families. But do you think this is ever appropriate? Do you think this helps a mom or does it hurt her? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Sarah Jane Clark, an associate research scientist for the Department of Pediatrics and Communicable Diseases at the University of Michigan. She was co-director of the C.S. Mott Children's Hospital National Poll on Children's Health titled Mom Shaming or Constructive Criticism, Perspectives of Mothers. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. I've seen your research highlighted in a number of media articles, including the New York Times. Why did you decide to focus in on this?
Our C.S. Mott Children's Hospital National Poll on Children's Health every month puts out a report on different types of child health issues, and we look at child health very broadly, including issues surrounding parenting, because for children to be healthy, they need to have strong and effective parents. And about 2 years ago, we did a report that really struck a nerve, which was about the extent to which parents post things about their kids on social media. And we were, at that time, really taken by how much criticism we heard in the coverage of our report about parents oversharing things. And it made us want to do this particular report about criticism to understand the context in which there's criticism of mothers. We focused in on mothers and the 0 to 5 age group of kids, because that, I think that's a time when many parents are learning, kids are changing rapidly. So it really was that earlier report about social media that kind of prompted us to do this follow-up report looking more broadly at the question of moms being judged and criticized by others.
And you are seeing a lot of examples of moms being judged and criticized in the news, these days, this week, in fact, some of them celebrity moms who are being judged for, I don't know, being out at a bar or something like that. But also, if there's a tragedy where a child is hurt, you see people saying, well, the mom should have been watching that child more closely. Is that what we mean by mom judging?
I think that's absolutely one element of it. And you're right, we do see those high-profile celebrity cases or when there is a tragedy. We were actually a little surprised in our poll results that in the greater scheme of things, the judging on social media or from strangers that you might see in a grocery store or the park, that was, it certainly did occur. But moms reported that much less frequently than they did getting judged or criticized by people in their own family. That was a shocker to us. We were fully expecting that the social media thing would be huge. Yeah. And it turned out to be a little bit of the reverse.
So let's step back. The poll revealed that 62% of the moms polled felt that they were getting unhelpful advice from other people. Mm-hmm. 56% believe that moms get too much blame and not enough credit for their children's behavior. And as you said, most of this criticism is coming from families. What's your reaction, though, to the overall results that, almost two-thirds of moms feel that they have been criticized?
I think it's so pervasive that sometimes we don't even realize it's happening out there. But you gave great examples at the top of our conversation about how this kind of thing is everywhere. And I think people feel quite free to start pointing fingers at the parents. And to be honest, especially the moms. Moms are, in our society today, where moms bear the brunt of the responsibility for parenting. It seems like people are real quick to point the finger and blame the mother anytime something goes wrong, from a big thing like a tragedy to a little thing like a kid misbehaving in the aisle of the grocery store.
Yeah. Well, I'll admit, I'm not a mom, so I've not been mom-shamed. But I will admit that I have, in a restaurant or somewhere else, where if some child is crying and, or mom, look, and not being paid attention to, I'm like, please stop whatever's happening. But I don't go up to the mom and say something, but I kind of under my breath or rolling my eyes. I mean, that's a form of mom shaming too.
You know what? That is a great example, because there's two parts of this interaction. One is your reaction, which could be commenting or eye rolling or, you know, kind of giving a glare. But the other is for the mother, how she receives that. And I think that's really important, because in some cases, moms might be oblivious to your reaction. In other cases, a mom might feel very judged and very shamed by being in this very public setting and being quite aware that you're looking her way. Yeah. And giving her the side eye. So I think that one of the important things that we need to keep in mind when we think about these results is a lot of this is what the mother perceives to be both the intention of the comments or the reaction, as well as the extent to which she wants to personally take that as criticism or judgment of her own parenting.
Yeah. I'm going to take a call right away, because this was the next area I was going to go into. Susan in Middleton. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Joy. Nice to be with you this morning.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been mom-shamed, and I hope I haven't mom-shamed anybody, but I do speak up when I see, like, a child acting up in the store kind of thing. I'll usually approach the mom and kind of joke and say, looks like you have your hands full. And you know, one thing, it stops a child immediately when they're screaming for attention, because it's like, a stranger's talking to my mom. And then I go on and say, hey, you know, this is totally age-appropriate behavior. Hang in there. You're doing a great job.
Yeah, so that's not mom-shaming, but you are at least, you're trying to help, Susan.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know how hard it is being a mom. Mm-hmm. My experience is like 20 years ago now that my child has outgrown that. Another time, like in a park, there's a young girl, and I could tell she's mimicking a really frustrated mom. She was yelling at her brother, and her mom was there too. So I kind of went up to the group and said, isn't it hard having a little baby brother? And, you know, you get so frustrated, but you know, you do love him very much, like your mom loves you so much. And, you know, there's other ways you can talk to him and, you know, let him know that you care without yelling at him kind of thing. And
yeah. Well, Sarah, what do you think about, it's not shaming, but maybe trying to help in some way?
I think Susan's giving some great examples of the right way to approach those interactions. So what she was describing was giving a signal to that mom of, hey, we've all been there, no big deal. You know, again, she gave some public examples of, you know, if the kid's throwing a tantrum at the store. A lot of moms are just embarrassed, and sometimes you moms can overestimate the amount that other shoppers are paying attention. And to just have a nice comment like, you know, age appropriate, we've been there too, it'll pass, and helping to de-escalate the situation can be so helpful for that mom. Just take that element of embarrassment or being judged right out of the conversation and let it just be, hey, let's help this kid get over a difficult moment and move on with his or her day. And the example at the park, the same. That is just absolutely terrific. And, you know, I think if we all approach situations that way, we'd be better off.
Noted. We are talking about mom shaming and the tendency for many to criticize a parenting skills of mothers in particular. Talking with a guest who did a recent poll that found that most moms do feel judged. More than 60% of moms feel that they had been criticized for their parenting decisions, and most of that criticism is coming from within their own families. What about you? Have you ever been mom shamed? Have you ever judged another mom? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We'll talk about the consequences of mom shaming after the news. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. From feeding methods to discipline and safety, a recent poll finds that more than 60% of mothers of young children say they have been criticized about their parental decisions. We are talking with a guest about where this judgment stems from and how this affects mothers. And we are welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your own examples. Have you ever been mom shamed? Will you confess to ever mom shaming yourself? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Sarah Jane Clark, an associate scientist for the Department of Pediatrics and Communicable Diseases at the University of Michigan, co-director of the C.S. Mott Children's Hospital National Poll on Children's Health, titled Mom Shaming or Constructive Criticism, Perspectives of Mothers. And again, this poll found that nearly two-thirds of mothers felt they had been criticized for their parenting methods or decisions. And most of that criticism was coming from the family. And Sarah, you said that was really surprising to you, that most of the criticism was coming to the family. Why did that surprise you so much?
When we went into this, we were really thinking that the examples we hear on the news of the kind of the celebrity social media bashing of celebrity moms would be really the most common thing that all moms experience. And in reality, it's the everyday interactions with family that really were the highest level of judging and criticisms that moms felt. So once we stopped and thought about these results, we stopped being surprised and understood that really makes sense. I might be able to, as a mother, let an anonymous comment on my Facebook page or somebody that I don't see regularly, I might let that just roll right off my back. I don't really care what that person thinks. In contrast, when I'm judged by my own mother or my in-laws or my husband, that might hurt in a different way. That's a little closer to home.
Yeah, right. For some reason, we're having a little bit of a static on your phone line, Sarah. So Nyasia is going to pick up and see if we can clean that up at all, maybe even reestablish contact with you. And in the meantime, I will remind listeners that we are talking with Sarah Jane Clark, who was co-director of this national poll on children's health on mom shaming. And we are talking about why mom shaming happens so much, who's doing the mom shaming, and we will talk more about the consequences of this judging of a mom's parenting skills. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We have seen quite a few stories in the news recently, even this week. It's a celebrity mom, but Beyonce was being criticized on social media for being out and about and apparently not home taking care of the kids. So that's one example of mom shaming. Criticizing a mom for not watching her kids closely enough, and maybe the kids are got into some sort of trouble or even some sort of tragedy, blaming the mom when a child is in an accident. Maybe you have some other examples of mom shaming. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Let me, while we reestablish contact with our guests, I'm going to take a call just to get some examples on. John in Boaz is with us. Hi, John.
Good morning. I was in my late 40s, and I went to see a psychotherapist about my childhood. And he has 30 years of experience, and he said I was the worst child abuse case that he's ever had because of what my mother tried to do to me. Like,
she strangled
me by my neck when I was a child of 10 years old. She tried to drown me in the bathtub when I was an infant. But because I told on her, that was a mom shaming.
Well, it was self-preservation. And Sarah, this is obviously a tragedy. There is situations of child abuse. So, criticism of someone's parenting skills might be completely warranted.
And I think that is a really great reminder that there are times when other people need to step in and say, "Wait, what's happening right here is dangerous and wrong." And needs to be corrected. So when it's an issue of the child's safety, that's a great time to speak up and to support people like John so it doesn't go on for years, so somebody can step in and talk. And I think we never want to lose sight of the fact that there are times where it is important to protect kids. And it's also a reminder to people who see a situation that is less serious and say, you know, a lot of parenting is choices. You choose when you want to respond to your child's misbehavior, and then there are times where you choose to ignore it or deal with it at a different time. It's not a matter of abuse or child safety. It's just a parent choice. So when we are, whether we're family members or strangers, we need to look at the situation and be clear when we're reacting or commenting. Is this an important issue of child safety that we need to address immediately, or is this just one mom's choice, and we may have thoughts about it, but we don't necessarily need to judge her about it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you see a mom leaving her child in a hot car, you're not saying
right.
something, you can't do that, their child's going to, could die, is not mom shaming.
Right, exactly.
John, thank you for the call, and I'm so sorry for what you had to go through. Let's see. We will. Lisa on Facebook says, "I am pretty sure I have been mom shamed, but I just don't care. I am raising my boys the best I know how, to be kind and to be adventurous and independent, and the opinions of others do not matter to me." So how about that? Do most moms not care?
Good for Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of times where, honestly, you don't. And I think this is a good example of it. For many moms, the extent to which a comment is perceived as criticism or judgment has a lot to do with who is that comment coming from. I don't care if it's, some other mom at the preschool or somebody I see in the park. You know, I'm going to let my boys run and jump and be active. I did the same when mine were young. And that's, again, it's my choice. Kids are growing, they're healthy, that's fine. I think in our poll results, some of the part of the reason why the criticism from inside the family was more common is that there are times where family members see us at our most vulnerable. When you think of a family holiday gathering,
that sometimes can be a fairly high-stress event for parents of young kids. We want the holiday meal to go right. Sometimes we're at a religious service, and everybody, we want our kids to behave. You can just think of kind of those intimate family moments that sometimes that being criticized in those situations can sting even a little bit more than the kinds of things that Lisa was describing of, yep, people, strangers commenting, I'm letting that roll right off my back. Mm.
So is it just a sting when the mother-in-law says, hey, you shouldn't put that pacifier back in the baby's mouth after dropping it on the floor or something? Is it more than that? If a mom is criticized perhaps regularly from her own family?
There are two parts of our report, our poll findings that give me pause along those lines. The first is that two out of every five moms who reported being criticized said it made them feel unsure about themselves as parents. And to some extent, we're all unsure of ourselves as parents, right? Because there's no book that says here's the exact right way to handle every situation. So, you know, an isolated comment from the mother-in-law might not be a big deal. If it happens repeatedly and that mom loses confidence, you know, there's a point where that anxiety can become problematic.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's not good for the health of a kid. We want happy families, you know, moms who are confident and able to operate. So that's one. The second is half of our moms who were criticized said they avoid someone who is overly critical. So now if the mother-in-law, grandma, is the one we're avoiding, that really can have a disruptive effect on the life of the well-being of the whole family. Now every holiday situation becomes stressful of how are we going to avoid there, or if we go, there's tension in the air. It interrupts the child's ability to develop healthy relationships with grandparents and cuts off another person who could be a source of love and support. So it makes me regretful that such a lot, half of the moms in this thing said they were avoiding somebody who was overly critical.
Yeah. Anne in Madison has an example to share. Hi, Anne.
Hi, I am. My son and daughter-in-law have a 2-year-old little boy, and they do just an exceptionally good job with him. He's, you know, well loved and well taken care of. But I worry about they give him ice to chew on, ice cubes, or they don't cut up his food. And so I worry about him choking, but I really, really don't want to shame anybody, and I'm not sure how to talk to them about this.
Mm-hmm. Sarah?
So one of the things that we found in our poll results that we were actually really happy about was about two-thirds of the times about two-thirds of our criticized mothers said that in response to being criticized, they went out and looked for information. They might have asked the child's pediatrician or gone online. It sounds like Anne's situation might be in that category of, hey, let's look for more information about whether chewing ice is okay, or, you know, how do we reduce the risk of choking for a toddler?
Thank you, Anne, for the call. Matt in Amory is with us. Hi, Matt.
Hello. I'm a pastor in small churches, and so I guess I just had an example and some observations because as a pastor, and I think a lot of people in these small congregations want young families with kids, and it's a sign of health and everything, but if you know, a family's new to that experience, and the kids are acting up and making noise and preventing people from hearing and so on. You can just see in the face of the parents and mothers in particular, let me out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that the shame, if it's shame, I don't know, just embarrassment, I guess, but that they feel is way out of proportion with what's actually being felt by the people around them.
Right.
But
churches, most churches that I have been to, don't they actually have a room where a mom or a dad can walk out and still kind of be close to the action, but it's they can try to console their crying child.
Yes, a lot of them do. The churches I'm serving now are very small, and it's not totally closed off. Yeah. But another observation that I think I have might be an assumption, I guess, but I think that especially toddlers and maybe above that are maybe prone to be active and noisy and stuff, I think that being in a group like a worship service, for example, is part of like their socialization. And they need to learn the impact that they have on people surrounding them. Like, here's a bunch of grandmas and grandpas out here, kids, and they're trying to hear, but they can't because they can't hear very well. And I think children, it's an opportunity, I guess is what I would say, for the children to be socialized and understand the impact that their actions are making on people around them.
Good point, Pastor Matt. Sarah, you want to comment?
Couldn't agree more with both of those observations. And I think I would add one maybe suggestion is even when the crying rooms exist, I know that's what they're called in some churches, sometimes we don't publicly let parents know it's perfectly okay to use that. And Pastor Matt can set the stage by saying, happy to have, several families with young kids here, just to let you know if at any time during the service you need to get up and you let your little one have a little, release some energy out in the parking lot or in the crying room, do that. It doesn't matter what's going on, just when the time is right, you leave. And by doing that, you give the parents permission to put their child's needs first, and you also signal to the rest of the congregation, you know what, that is part of growing up, and with, if kids are being a little loud, that happens. Let's give these parents an opportunity to leave and take care of it without feeling judged.
We are talking about how we often judge parenting skills of others. We are talking about mom shaming in particular, and we wonder if you've ever publicly questioned how another mom was handling a parenting matter, maybe even your own daughter or daughter-in-law. Have you ever been mom shamed? What happened? Did you find the criticism constructive or hurtful? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Talking with Sarah Jane Clark, who's an associate research scientist for the Department of Pediatrics and Communicable Diseases at the University of Michigan. She's co-director of the C.S. Mott Children's Hospital National Poll on Children's Health. And in this particular poll that we found, or that she recently did, more than 60% of mothers of young children say they have been criticized or judged over their parenting decisions. The news is next. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about mom shaming. There are numerous examples in the news and on social media of moms getting criticized for their parenting decisions or methods. And a recent poll finds more than 60% of moms say they have been the subject of mom shaming. So we are talking about why this is and who's doing the shaming and the consequences of this shaming and what is shaming and what is constructive criticism. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Sarah Jane Clark. She's an associate research scientist for the Department of Pediatrics and Communicable Diseases at the University of Michigan. She was a co-director of this national poll on children's health titled Mom Shaming or Constructive Criticism, Perspectives of Mothers. All right, let's take some more calls. Heather in Madison is with us. Hi, Heather.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
I guess I just dealt with this issue for the past 2 days. This weekend, we went up to my kid's grandparents' house, and they live by a lake, and it's marshy, and there's a lot of mosquitoes. So my daughter got eaten up by mosquitoes, even though we put repellent on her, and we had repellent bracelets. Her father took pictures of it, posted it on Facebook, and then I just received a barrage of negative comments from his friends, saying that I'm a neglectful, unfit mother. There are even threats of violence.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. And it was because she had the mosquito bites or because maybe they were posted?
Because she had mosquito bites.
Oh, my gosh. And how did that make you feel, Heather?
Terrible. So, I mean, I've been just shaken up the last 2 days.
Yeah. Sarah, what do you think?
See, I think this is the one of the situations that are the most frustrating. This is a normal part of being up in northern Wisconsin,
right.
Up around by the lake. I bet every one of those persons that posted a comment has had an evening or a day themselves where they've been eaten alive by the mosquitoes.
Right.
And there is no reason that anybody needs to be judging anyone else in this situation.
Yeah.
Hopefully, Heather will just let this one go and say, you know what, I'm forgetting about all this stuff. Just continue to be a good mom, Heather. Don't worry about this kind of comment.
Yeah, Heather, I'm sorry that happened to you, but that is a very specific example.
Mm-hmm.
And now this was coming from, friends, not necessarily family, but boy, but that's an example of mom shaming. One thing from your poll that really did surprise me, and you mentioned that you were also surprised that much of the criticism was coming from family. And we talked a little bit about the moms or the mother-in-laws. What was it? 36% were frequently criticized by the other parent, by their spouse. So their husband is criticizing their mothering skills? What's the deal with that?
Well, I think, that was really common. And I think that sometimes we have to look at this in the context of how the mom is interpreting the dad's comments. So if you've had a day home with the kids and it's, 6 o'clock and, 6 o'clock is a tough time to be a parent of toddlers because that's when everyone's tired and their nerves are frayed. And if the father comes home and offers a well-meaning, has Johnny had his bath yet? In the father's mind, even this is the best case example, the father is thinking, oh, I'm going to be helpful, and if not, I will help give the kid a bath. The mom can hear that as, what do you mean? You haven't gotten that done? So I think a lot of times the criticism from the spouse or the child's other parent can really be open to interpretation about what a particular comment might mean. And so sometimes a strategy to diffuse that or prevent a comment from being misinterpreted would be, wow, end of the day, you've been here all day with the kids. Now I'm home. Let me know what I can do to help. Can I give Johnny his bath, or is there something else that, I can do to give you a hand? And make sure that the comment is couched in a phrase that conveys helpfulness and support, so it's not misinterpreted as criticism. Mm-hmm.
Carolyn in Oshkosh is with us. Hi, Carolyn.
Hello.
Yes, what is your example?
Children acting up in the store and the parents being all frustrated. Sometimes I will directly comment to the child, like, oh, what a nice smile, or look at those shoes, those are really cool, and, you know, it'll distract the kid, and, you know, the mom has this look of thank you on their face.
Yeah. So, yeah, don't, you're not rolling your eyes at the mom.
Well, there's been times I've, you know, said to myself, shut that kid up, you know, but, you know, I'll think, well, I go back to, you know, the day when my daughter threw tantrums in the store. So, but, and another thing, you really, really hit the nail right there with my mom. She grew up in a very well-off family, fine china, maid, et cetera. And it was, you know, all appearance and dressing perfect, and, you know, you had to look a certain way. And, well, my daughter has what she calls pins in her face, you know, some piercings. And my mom just will not accept it.
Oh, I see. Your daughter is an adult with piercings.
Yeah.
And it scared me for a second.
Going on forever, and I can't. Yeah. No matter what I say, you know, she won't even talk to her when we go down to visit in Janesville, my hometown. Yeah. It just got to the point where my daughter said one day, well, why should I go down there? Grandma doesn't talk to me.
Yes, and that's a consequence of that. That's very sad, Sarah.
It does. It breaks your heart, and it's an example of when criticism goes so far that we start avoiding family members, mm-hmm. because we can't trust them to be loving and supportive. That's just heartbreaking.
John on Facebook says, you can only feel ashamed if you think you are doing something wrong. People have to take responsibility for their own feelings. There is definitely a time when it goes beyond appropriate levels, which I doubt is a common occurrence, meaning the criticism. And then there is, they looked at me funny, how dare they? So what about John saying you're being too sensitive if you're making a big deal out of this?
Are there people out there who are too sensitive? Absolutely. But I would say much more common is, I would not agree with his, you can only feel ashamed if, you know, you're doing something wrong. I would go back to, there is no exact right way to be a parent. You know, every mom is an individual, every kid is an individual, and the reaction or how to handle a situation might differ depending if we're at home or in public, we're at grandma's, whatever. So I think that's a pretty tough statement and a pretty tough load to put on the shoulders of moms. I think sometimes we're all struggling to do the best that we can with an imperfect situation, and the perceived criticism from other people doesn't help.
Megan on Facebook says, as a mom, yes, I agree this is a terrible practice. However, to play the devil's advocate, I've seen moms argue in favor of questionable parenting practices, and when people offer them legitimate research citing reasons why they should stop and alternatives, these people are attacked as mom shamers. I appreciate people sharing research with me so I could make good decisions, but many people are defensive and emotional about what they think works. I think there has to be space for discussion about topics so people can learn and make decisions separate from reactive people pointing fingers at mom shamers and shutting them down. So, for example, hey, Betsy, this research says spanking your children is not helpful, and what do you think about this? Is that mom shaming?
That's a tough one because there are... there absolutely are certain areas where there are kind of different philosophies that folks might gravitate to. And I think if we can look for those opportunities to have reasonable conversations and then respect when people make choices that we wouldn't make ourselves, but mm-hmm.
but still fall into the category of a parent's choice that is not putting the child's safety in jeopardy, sometimes we might just have to respectfully disagree.
Yeah. All right. Brandy on Facebook says, people disagree on what good parenting is, and it seems shamers just want to feel morally superior regarding parents who should be shamed because their actions were so egregious, everyone would agree they were bad. Shaming doesn't work on them anyway, so why bother? Perhaps we should all mind our own business. So what do you think of that?
Thumbs up on that comment.
Yeah. Well, as we wrap up, Sarah, what the takeaway from your research, what do you want listeners to remember about what your poll shows and what the research shows here?
I think for the moms out there, a couple of things. One, don't take every comment personally. And also keep an open mind that there are some folks out there who are offering helpful suggestions or constructive criticisms that you can, when you're ready, consider. Those little practical tips that that help us all. And there's also a lot of comments that just let them roll right off your back and don't worry about it. For just the rest of us folks, maybe we all need to be a little more thoughtful before we make a comment or roll our eyes or in other ways react to what typically is just child behavior at those tricky early years.
Thank you so very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Joy.
Sarah Jane Clark is with the University of Michigan, co-director of this national poll on children's health titled Mom, Shaming, or Constructive Criticism, Perspectives of Mothers. Thanks to Nyasia Ellison for producing this program. Thank you for your calls and your examples. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.